The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Friends, Romans, bubbleheads, lend me your tubs. We come to banish dirt, not to raise it. The evil that some soaps do lives after them. Their good is oft washed down the drain. So let it not be with Bubble Genius.
It's the Ides of March, and Bubble Genius celebrates our world's rich history this March 15th, a.k.a. the day the world said, "See you later, Caesar," with our bloodbath bubble bath. Have your own worldly wash in our bubbly, sweet-smelling bubble bath without all that bother of doing anyone in. So toss on a toga, lay on your laurel, and bubble down with us. Bloodbath by Bubble Genius, the home of natural and fun bath and body products.
Beware the Ides of Surfactants.
Only at bubblegenius.com.
I'm Mark Antony, and I approve this message.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Zeska and Chez Pazienza.
What is a nut? Jokes?
A nut joke is when we're trying to make fun of something, and what we do is we make a statement that we pretend is true, but at the end we say, "Not," which means it's not true.
So teach me how to make one.
All right. What color is your suit?
This suit is gray.
Gray. I would call it blue, okay?
It's gray.
All right, it's blue-gray, but it's certainly not black, right? All right. Let's say it's gray, but it's not...
It is gray.
Okay, so a not joke was, I would say, "That suit is black." Not.
This suit... It's not black.
No, not has to be the end.
Okay. This suit is black nut.
This suit is black. Pause. You know what a pause is?
Yes.
This suit is black. Not.
This suit is black. Pause nut.
No, you don't say pause. This suit is black. That's a pause. Not.
This suit is black.
Okay. I'm not quite...
Coming or going, you can be radioing. Radio is everywhere.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Now that the Borat overhype has died down after several years, boy, that makes me laugh.
It is great stuff, man.
It is Thursday, March 6th, 2014, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez sitting right over there.
Yep.
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. They sell bath and body products that are the best in the world. Go to BubbleGenius.com. Buy all of your bath and body products there. At the bottom of the show, we'll give you a discount promo code for 15% off everything at Bubble Genius. So stay tuned. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Charles is easily the best attorney I've ever dealt with. And I've dealt with quite a few, I'm sad to say. He's fast, he's smart, he knows how to communicate with his clients. The Bowen Group covers commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, medical malpractice law, large firm experience, small firm attention. Say it with me now, elite firm ability. It's thebowenlawgroup.com. Click the link on the podcast page.
I have scarred you for life, haven't I?
Well, how's that?
By saying firm ability.
Yeah, now I make sure to enunciate every word of that.
Firm ability is not a real word. I just sound...
Well, it's two words. It's elite
it's
firm.
It's not a real word, like intersectionality.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I completely missed what you said, so...
Don't worry about it.
Go right past that.
No, it's just hate mail. I said that intersectionality is not a real word, so here come the feminist, our feminist contingent to beat my ass. Call me a dude bro, my favorite word, my favorite neologism. Dude bro.
My favorite is extrajudicial. Extrajudicial.
That is terrible.
Which is hard
I actually
to say.
Do have, like I have no, oh my God, no issue at all with feminists, but I don't like feminist writers who refer to guys constantly, like what's her name, Sadie over at Tiger Beatdown does this, who constantly refer to men as dudes.
Oh yeah, really?
Like, no, just, you know, I don't think you'd like it if we, you know, men called you chicks. So yeah, how about just men, guys, men? Men's not bad. It's okay, guys. Even
I don't care.
You know, dudes is that whole has that whole sort of connotation of like kind of douchey jerk.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I never got that. I've said that word quite liberally over the years. Dude.
Oh no, me dude. Too. I'm talking about it's all the context, dude. No, it's all the context and the
intent. It's all the context, dude.
It's all context and where it's coming from.
Oh, by the way, be sure to check out the BobSesca.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon.com, enter the site using our link. It's right below the logo at BobSesca.com. And everything you buy at Amazon.com, not only do you get it super cheap and super fast, but we get a small commission out of that. Costs you nothing additional. So, okay. We've got the biggest story that at least we've been following this week has been what's been happening over at the RT network, formerly Russia Today.
Russia Today.
So, okay, we've got the situation in Crimea with Putin invading Crimea and a crisis in Ukraine. And we've got RT, which is a state-sponsored network.
Which hates the hell out of America.
Yeah, there's the Russian version and then there's the RT America version. And it's clear that it's a propaganda front. Right. To me, above all of this, above the anchors resigning and everything, which we're going to me, the biggest scene here is that this is all about, you know, perpetually whitewashing Putin.
Right.
Doing their best
and,
job.
And, you know,
to make
and
sure.
I said in the piece that I just wrote for Banter, there are state sponsored media organizations that are very good. There's the BBC. There's Al Jazeera. You know, I mean, there are state-sponsored outlets where the sponsorship, where the influence is either benign or close to non-existent.
Yeah. Well, with RT, they wear it on their sleeve. You can tell just by dialing them up and checking them out that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had a friend of mine who used to be a reporter for RT, and you know, I mean, just, they not to be a jerk here, but it's kind of true. At least from what I've seen, they tend to hire sort of like young, attractive women.
Yeah, they're kind of like Fox News that way.
Yeah, they. It's, well, I said, I'm like, RT is basically the Fox News of Russia.
Yeah. Fewer blondes, you know, but yeah.
Right, but it's very, yeah, they you know, because they hired, my friend was very, very pretty, and they hired her as a reporter. They had her on for a long time. And, you know, I mean, I think she liked it. And you know, whenever people say things like, well, you know, you knew what you were getting into by working there, why would you work there? If you have any idea what it's like in television, if you get offered an on-air presenting job almost anywhere, at least to try it out, you're going to take it.
Sure.
I know people who work at Fox News who can't stand their politics, but you know what? When the market sucks and you've got rent to pay or you've got a mortgage or whatever, you know, you take that gig at Fox if it's offered to you.
Yeah. Well, this has become this big chimera between Moscow, the RT network, couple of anchors. You can kind of fold in Snowden and Greenwald into the mix because you got Snowden being offered perpetual asylum in Russia. So no one in that Snowden universe is going to bag on Putin or Russia or anything that's going on there. Certainly not RT. And then Greenwald writes an extended piece this week in which he basically lionizes Abby Martin, who's an anchor at RT America, for lashing out against the invasion of Ukraine and laughably claiming that, you know, basically RT is this home of independent journalism, which is hysterical. Anyone who knows anything about anything knows that RT is all about Moscow. It's all about Putin. It's all about making sure the terrible things that happen in Russia are overlooked. And we're going to put a bright smiley face on what Russia does. And so Abby Martin steps out.
Well, while also either negatively portraying the United States or concern trolling the United States.
Well, yeah, that's a big part of it. That's
concern trolling is what they do best.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, what they want to do, I mean, anything that looks bad for the United States looks good for Russia. We're going to talk about later on the show this, this propaganda move in Russia to contrast the toughness of Putin and the weakness of Obama. And that's been going on, and that's being parroted on the right. But we're going to get into that later. But clearly, there's in Russia a pretty significant propaganda effort going on, not only during this situation in Ukraine, but just in an ongoing way. It's just, I mean, that's former KGB guy Putin doing his best to put a good face on his regime.
Yeah.
This anchor, Abby Martin, steps out and says that this is wrong, this is bad, but doesn't resign.
Right. That's kind of the thing, which is, I think it was ballsy what she did, genuinely. But I think that by not resigning, I think that what she's she's obviously, I don't know, maybe she's not that upset about it. But most importantly, kind of like what Shep Smith does. Again, I hate to keep bringing up Fox. By taking this stand, it gives Russia something, the Russian government, something it can point to say, see, we accept dissent on RT.
Exactly. I mean, that was my reaction.
It's a useful tool.
Yeah. This is all about propaganda. This is another angle of propaganda. Not every bit of propaganda is positive to the regime producing the propaganda.
It's false flag propaganda.
Exactly. False flag propaganda. Brain. But so, I mean, you know, anyone who wants to point at RT now is saying, well, this is a propaganda front for Putin. Now they can say, well, no, because there's this Abby Martin. And, you know, she says she spoke out against us. So that means we're not
right,
blah, blah, blah.
This one time.
Mm-hmm. It's all about the strategy. Okay. Now, the immediate reaction, in case you weren't following along very closely, was that RT announced they were sending Abby Martin to Crimea to cover the story. Which is basically like after Phil Donahue spoke out against the Iraq war, George Bush sending him to Fallujah.
Right, exactly. But she's not going.
But she's not going.
I mean, well,
we know why? No. Did she refuse to go, or did she?
No. I mean, if I'm reading her Twitter feed correctly, I just glanced over it. I can't pull it up in front of me. I think what she was saying is that she's going to go and cover it. So again, there's the independent. She's going to go cover it sort of independently and create her own sources. The idea being that she is not, you know, she's above the whatever the biases are at RT. She's above that.
Oh, so she's going independently. She's not going as a representative of the RT network.
Let's take a peek here. No, I think she'll eventually go as a representative of the RT network, but the way she made it sound. Hold on, I don't want to screw this up. So
she'll eventually go as the representative of the Pierre Omidyar network.
Right. So yes, exactly. Yes, she will. And yes, she's just being hailed by that particular segment of, you know, of the left, the libertarian left, for her, you know, speaking out against corporate media last night on CNN. You work for a media company owned by Russia.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about this before the show. It's so funny with this entire crowd. Now, I'm beginning
to
consider,
by the way, everyone who calls her courageous. Like, everyone.
Yeah, good. Well, it sounds like Greenwald.
Actually, no. I wanted the chance to make my own contacts on the ground first without just being sent to Crimea with RT bosses.
You know, she's in negotiations with Greenwald right now to join the Intercept.
And here it is, by the way. Here's the shot she took at Tony Ortega, who we'll get to this in a second. But your headline conflating two unrelated issues to get hits is pathetic. Another hack journo shows how RS is vile tabloid trash. So let's see. Pathetic and hack are like her, like, cultist. That's her official sort of, you know, that's her line of attack.
That's her vast and pernicious.
Since I got called that, the exact same thing as well. Yeah. Never clarifying what her position is or clarifying what changed her mind, if her mind really was changed, but an awful lot of lashing out.
Hack and cultist is her vast and pernicious.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, you know, the strange thing is in all of this is somehow the Daily Banter got wrapped up into this big cocktail of crazy. You know, I don't want to get too extensively into how and why, but well, maybe we will. But the fact of the matter, we only learned later that that Abby Martin is friends with our boss, Ben Cohen.
Yes.
And so she was firing mad at what you wrote this week about, you know, and I thought you were very deferential. You were way more deferential to her than I would have been, because I was preparing to write about it. And
then
I saw Ben's
thing. For those who don't know the story, basically right after this happened, that she, you know, that she made this statement, the New York Times mentioned the fact that they have a piece of video from 2008, late 2008, of her marching in Santa Monica at a 9/11 truther rally. And in that rally, look, I'm sorry, there's no way around it. I don't care whether she thinks somebody's a hack for repeating her own words, you know, or that you're pathetic or you're conflated, whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. But she made statements that were ridiculous. I mean, even for truthers, we're ridiculous at face value. When asked, you know, what is the evidence you have that led you to believe that 9/11, you were really being lied to by the government? Government was involved. It was a conspiracy. What is it that led you to this? And the quote was like, I actually, thank God, the video's been taken down from YouTube, but I thank God I actually transcribed part of it, because the response is great. It was like, well, you know, I saw the Pentagon and the Pentagon confused me. And then, then Building 7 and, you know, Building 7. And I just right there, I just knew. It's like, you know, you just trust your mind, and it's, you know, it's like you're being given apples and, you know, they're oranges. And I'm just sitting there thinking, that's your evidence. That's your, and she says, by the way, she did 3 years of research. That's what you got out of 3 years of research. The Pentagon confuses you and Building 7. Okay. Awesome. that's fantastic. And so what happened was the New York Times mentioned this and put that up. And by the way, the New York Times did not just put up that piece of video from, from 6 years ago. They also put several more examples of pieces that she's done at RT, at statements that she's made just over the past couple of years that seem to indicate that, yeah, you know what, she's really a serious kind of freaking conspiracy theorist.
I've got my conspiracy music from JFK up here for...
Right, exactly. So, yeah, she's a bit of a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
And so I did the story as well. I wrote it for Banter, and I repeated, you know, what a lot of what was in the Times.
Yeah.
Added my own commentary on it, whatever. And, yeah, she got really, really angry. Because she's friends with Ben, I mean, obviously, poor Ben got, you know, the brunt of it, which I can understand. I mean, she's upset, and I don't have an issue with that. But what I have an issue with is what, you know, she commented in the comment section and she got really angry, just like she did at Tony Ortega that I just described. And I was really polite. I'm like, look, if you don't believe these things, that's fine. Totally understandable. I believed stuff a long time ago, even though 6 years was not that long ago, but I believed stuff a long time ago that I don't believe now. But if you ask me why I believed it and what led me to the conclusion that I don't, you know, what led me to the conclusion that I'm at now, I can tell you. I won't just lash out at you. And I asked him, like, look, if you changed your mind, I'm just curious. Here's your chance. I will put it up in the piece. Tell me what it is what evidence you found that changed your mind about this. And it was just, you know, hacky, conflating, pathetic. And I'm like, okay, well.
Vast, pernicious.
Yeah. I mean, it really, I hate to say it. I'm sorry. You know what? I genuinely, and the thing is, when I wrote this thing, she's so misusing the word conflate. Because I did not tie her comment about Russia and Ukraine to her truther comments. I said, I'm like, you know, this has nothing to do with the really great statement that she made on Monday on RT, which took some guts. You know, they have nothing to do with each other. But the fact is, this has now come out. And before, you know, as somebody, as a commenter on another piece said, before, you know, while we're all really eager to make her into a Greenwald-approved folk hero, there's nothing wrong with pointing out, like, look, you know what? She believes some pretty crazy things. It takes nothing away from what she did. Nothing. Yep. It doesn't make it any less noble.
We're going to talk about this a lot more after a quick break. Back after this.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
And we're back.
You say it's all in my head, and the things I
okay,
say
so.
Just don't make sense. So where you been then? Don't go off.
You know what's shocking to me is that the New York Times used a video from, what was it, 2006?
Which one? From her marching?
Yeah.
2008. October of 2008 in Santa Monica.
October of 2008.
And again, it wasn't just a, hey, here she is marching in this rally. Whatever. You know what? Seriously, I would never do that. I would never pull like a, what was the movie with Joan Allen? The Contender?
Oh, yeah,
pull like a, you know, we got this picture of you doing this terrible thing, you know, and create an entire narrative around that. Mm-hmm. She talks to the camera for like 5 minutes and she just sits and gives some really, really, she says some really crazy things. Well, she says some things for which, you know, I would even accept it if she said, you know what, back then I wasn't a journalist, mm-hmm. and I'm a journalist now, and the way that I approach stories has changed, meaning that I won't say something unless I know for sure that I've got some real evidence to back it up, not just conjecture.
The thing is that I was surprised they used that clip, because there's a much more recent one that was actually on RT. From last year, it was like a year ago, right after the Boston Marathon bombing, when there was all kinds of conspiracy theories about false flags and Alex Jones and Dan Bedondi and all these guys were coming out talking about how the Boston Marathon was an inside job, Boston Marathon bombing. And so Rachel Maddow did an extensive editorial about how that's nonsense. And she looped in the whole 9/11 truth thing. And then Abby Martin got on the air on RT and just ripped Rachel Maddow's editorial to shreds.
Yeah.
Saying, how dare you accept the official government line on this? We don't know. The government doesn't know. You know, we don't know what the government knows. And just all this bullshit conspiracy theorist crap. And to me, that's more damning than a tape from 2008. You go back to 2013, that's a little bit more relevant. It's really hard to dodge something.
I mean, that's exactly what I said. I'm like, you know what? There are stories more recently that call into question the process. Again, God, I can't believe I have to say this. The process that you use as a supposed journalist to get to your conclusions.
Yeah.
You cannot pull a Greenwald and just work backwards and say, my God, I know something's wrong here. I know something's wrong here, and damn it, I'm going to make the facts fit that end. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. You can say to yourself internally, there's something here. I know it. I know there's something wrong here. And then you go out, you find the facts, and when you got it all straight, and when you got it all together, and when you got the damn thing nailed up airtight, then you go public.
Yeah.
Then you say, look what I've got. But until then, no, it's not just, you know, I'm sorry. It's not just the big bad government is always awful and the little guys like Abby Martin and supposedly Glenn Greenwald are, you know, these crusaders for justice. That's such bullshit.
Yeah, it is. It is. And now we have this other anchor, Liz Wall, who has now resigned on the air.
Who Greenwald, by the way, seems to be downplaying her act because she resigned and she specified that one of the reasons why is she felt it was propaganda and she's American. So he is, again, standing up for RT. He's standing up for, you know, Abby. RT and Abby are up his alley.
Yeah. What he's doing is Greenwald is continuously flacking for Snowden. This is all about whitewashing RT, whitewashing Russia, so Snowden can continue to stay there. So Liz Wall says on the air.
Yeah, and by the way, in Greenwald's eyes, no matter what else, he's blinded to everything else. No matter what else Russia does, as long as they're giving Snowden a home, as far as he's concerned, they're perfect. They're great. They deserve to be lauded because they're champions of freedom. Why? All the other awful things that they do. Screw all the military intervention that, you know, he would always tag the U.S. with. Screw all the civil, you know, the human rights violations. Forget that. Forget the fact that Putin is basically, you know, still KGB, essentially. Mm-hmm. Put all that aside. As long as they've given Snowden a home, freedom.
Exactly.
Liberty. Liberty.
Yeah. And if he doesn't think that intelligence gathering and invasions of privacy have anything to do with what's happening in Ukraine, he is blinder than I thought he was. So here's what Liz.
But again, they are, you know, I'm sorry, I hate to keep interrupting, but what they're doing, you know, look at this. He's wrapping the Intercept flag around Abby Martin and around RT. And again, they are continuing, Intercept and First Look are going to continue to marginalize themselves.
Yeah, yeah. They really, really are. So, I mean, here's why Glenn Greenwald didn't remark about Liz Wall. She said in her statement on air, that is why, personally, I cannot be part of a network funded by the Russian government that whitewashes the actions of Putin. That's it, right there. That's the whole ballgame. That's the whole ballgame. The other day, Greenwald was all over The Intercept talking about how, you know, RT is a home of independent journalism. just because one person makes this foolhardy move to slam, you know, the Putin regime and its actions in Ukraine.
Right. Which, again, you know, again, ballsy, all the more, admittedly, and I'm the first one, again, changing your mind. You can change your mind. The farther away I get from it, and the more I step back from it, the more I see the possibility, you know, and I'm not being a conspiracy theorist here, the more possibility I see that you know what? There's always the potential that this was, I don't want to say it was engineered, but that it wasn't really that big a deal. That speaking out against Russia was not, you know, was not the getting sent to the gulag thing that anybody thought, because they now get to point at Abby Martin and say, oh, look, you know what? Journalistic independence. And they got idiots like, you know, useful idiots like Greenwald backing them up. Right. And can I say something? You know what? I'm going to say it. The hell with it. I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I am not the kind of person who believes that you have to be this stellar, you know, this really polished, you know. I mean, I bitched about Cenk
Uygur.
You're going. I bitched about Cenk Uygur. I did, because the mushmouth thing kind of got to me after a while. And when you combine that with the sort of, when you combine that, when he gets angry, he speaks, he mumbles a lot more, and he becomes more indecipherable, and his whole shtick is being angry. It's the same thing with Abby Martin. Abby Martin is a lousy news presenter. She really is. And I mean that. You know what? Yeah. The content, for all I know, some of the content has been fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But no, just not a very good news presenter. Not polished. Doesn't really have it together. And again, when you're, if you're just reading the news, it's one thing. But when your entire shtick is to be this, you know, kind of in your face, and you can't speak properly without tripping over your own tongue, that's a real problem.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. And in a more broad sense, I think both of these anchors have underscored the lack of credibility from anything that happens at RT, especially from here going forward. Because not only do you have the admission from Liz Wall about how, you know, basically going A to B from network funded by the Russian government to whitewashing Putin. All right. But then you also have Abby Martin, who, you know, who was a 9/11 truther. But that's only the beginning. I mean, there's a whole other, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a whole big other portion of that crazy conspiracy theorist iceberg where she's talking about fluoride and, yeah, you know, it's just the whole array of kind of Alex Jones kind of crap.
Right. And I'm sorry, I can't abide that. I cannot abide that.
No.
I can't abide even a tip of the hat to that kind of thing, because that is poisoning. It is poisoning the media climate.
So
it is poisoning our discourse. It is poisoning truth.
Why should anyone from this point forward take anything that happens on RT seriously? I don't get it. They have ruined it. They have ruined
it. And the crappy thing is Tom Hartman.
Yeah.
One
well,
name.
Yeah.
Because I like Hartman.
I do too. Yeah. I mean,
he has good things to say.
Other than Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman might be my favorite talk radio host.
And yeah, I like Hartman a lot.
And it's a shame that he, you know, that he's over on RT. Maybe he'll resign too. I don't know. I honestly, I hope he does. Hey, we got to take a break. Back after this.
Hey, TV lovers. I'm Buzz Burbank, ready to bring you the best and most comprehensive TV preview ever. I'm telling you, this one sets the standard for all my future previews, and there are great shows on the horizon. New shows have been trickling in since the first of the year, and now that the Olympics are over, prepare for a flood of some pretty great-looking stuff. I'll talk about my own favorites and most of the ones I know you love. I'll review those shows so you know what to expect. I also know when Mad Men is coming back, and I've got dates for all your other returning favorites. Be ready to take notes and to use that jump back button. There are shows coming you don't want to miss, so don't. Start by not missing my 2014 second season TV special. Available now at buzzburbank.com.
Friends, Romans, bubbleheads, lend me your tubs. We come to banish dirt, not to raise it. The evil that some soaps do lives after them. Their good is oft washed down the drain. So let it not be with Bubble Genius.
It's the Ides of March, and Bubble Genius celebrates our world's rich history this March 15th, a.k.a. the day the world said, see you later, Caesar, with our bloodbath bubble bath. Have your own worldly wash in our bubbly, sweet-smelling bubble bath without all that bother of doing anyone in. So toss on a toga, lay on your laurel, and bubble down with us. Bloodbath by Bubble Genius. the home of natural and fun bath and body products.
Beware the Ides of Surfactants.
Only at bubblegenius.com.
I'm Mark Antony, and I approve this message.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Your promo code is Bob and Chez, B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z. For that, you type that in at checkout, and you get 15% off your entire order from BubbleGenius.com, the best bath and body products in the universe. Okay, there's another angle to this whole Russia-Putin-Ukraine situation, which is the Republican reaction is predictably incoherent.
It's offensive. And yeah, then you know how rarely I use that word.
That too.
It's offensive because they are willing to embrace and rally around our adversaries. I won't call them enemies, but our adversaries rather than give any credit or stick by Obama for anything. If Vladimir Putin is making, you know, if a foreign president like Vladimir Putin is making Barack Obama look bad, they'll side with him. That's how much they hate this man.
Yeah, yeah. Both Sarah Palin and Sean Hannity, I'm sure there are many, many others, but from what I observed this week, both Sarah Palin and Sean Hannity were both praising, basically gushing and masturbating over Vladimir Putin's hairless man boobs.
Yep.
Yeah, the picture of Putin sitting on the back of the horse. Now, can you imagine, ever in a million years, any American president posing for that kind of photo op where he is shirtless, hairless, man boobs hanging down, he's wearing olive drab pants and khaki combat boots?
No, but that's what they like. Again, that's what the right is into. The right is into this bullshit, this cosmetic idea of what a manly guy is.
That's
right. I mean, you know, he should be like, you know, he should be riding a bear with like a bazooka and like, you know, like have like what a fighter plane made of biceps.
Right. But I mean, this is absolutely silly. That picture of Vladimir Putin is ridiculous. And it would only be even more ridiculous if it was an American president doing that exact same thing. The very fact that Russians believe that this is the sign of virility and aggressiveness and power is insane. It says a lot about their very, very insecure grasp of Russian power.
No, Russia's culture is Russia's. What did Matt Taibbi call it? Brutal and self-indulgent.
So Sean Hannity goes on the air on his radio show the other day, and he starts talking about comparing Obama wearing a quote-unquote goofy bicycle helmet.
Yeah.
In comparison to Vladimir Putin riding shirtless on the back of a horse, wearing combat fatigues. If you listen to the segment, it's very clear that what this is, these two contrasting photos that are going around in Russia, very obviously propaganda to make Russia look tough and to make America look weak. It's Russian propaganda. And Hannity bought into it hook, line, and sinker. He says, yeah, it works, obviously. You know, Sarah Palin's buying into it. Yeah, Putin's wrestling a bear, and meanwhile, Obama's wearing mom jeans.
Yep.
What is this obsession? It's been going on for years. This obsession with what the president wears, the clothing he wears. You know, the president was on the phone on Saturday talking to Putin wearing off-the-rack blue jeans and a gray button-down shirt. Stop the presses.
Normcore. That's what the hipsters call it, normcore.
It's absolutely insane. The Republicans are now like fashionistas. They should have their own show on E, talking about presidential fashion. But what's hilarious about it is the Republicans invented this whole folksy president image. You know, the idea that the president is just like us. We should be able to have a beer with him. So consequently, you get George W. Bush appearing in.
Right. Well, no, that's from day one. You know how they are. The right is this idea that, you know, if you're an intellectual, you're this effete. You're from the coast. You drink your lattes and you eat your arugula, and you're not a real man. And you're a queer. You're a fag.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, that's they masturbate over Putin because he's a man's man.
But he's insane.
He's completely insane.
The fact that this whole image that he's a man's man because he took his shirt off while wearing combat fatigues and rode on the back of a horse is just absolutely ridiculous. It's a joke. It's a joke. Yeah, Angela Merkel evidently this week said that Putin's basically lost his mind. We knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you saw his press conference, it was a big, big mess. But this is the guy. This is their guy. This is their guy. This is the guy who can do no wrong. But now he's done wrong. So now they're all over the boards. They're all over the board. President's a wimp. You know, 3 weeks ago, the president was a thug gangster from Chicago.
Right.
This week, he's an infinite waif. You know, he's right. Like,
no, but that's it exactly. I mean, it again. How long ago did we say this? The for all of the jumping back and forth between contradicting opinions, there's really only one opinion you need to know. Obama is always wrong, no matter what it is, mm-hmm. no matter what leaps of logic they have to jump through, or how much they have to be hypocritical or correct, you know, contradict something that they said earlier. He's wrong.
Yeah, and we've talked about this many, many times before. Where if we had just seen 9/11 over the weekend, there's no way there would be the same sort of deference to Barack Obama as was paid to George W. Bush.
He would be Obama would be taken to the guillotine.
Yeah, I think George Bush was 3 or 4 points shy of 100% approval rating after 9/11.
Yep.
You know, what we get when there's a crisis that could lead to a war in Europe, what we get is, he's wearing mom jeans. He's wearing mom jeans.
And you know, seriously, I'm sorry, but people wonder why we defend Obama a lot. Why, you know, why I tend to not quite be as critical of him as maybe I should in certain ways, because there are things I disagree with him on, things he's done, especially when it comes to Wall Street. That was an original sin that I was really angry about.
Yeah.
But the reason I don't beat up on him is I have to support most of what he does because they hate him so much. And he has done quite a bit of good.
Yeah.
And they just despise him with a passion. And I'm sorry, but you know what? I don't want to go into that whole, you know, friends and enemies thing, the politics, where it's sort of binary. But God damn it, they are the enemy. Know your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're awful. The last thing that we need is if you're a sane, practical progressive, to split everything off and start, if you're sane and practical, you're not going to split off and start howling at him from the left over every little goddamn thing that irks you.
Yeah.
Pointing to the imperial presidency and the imperial United States and, oh my God, drones.
what this president does, he hasn't deliberately done this, but just by his personality, his leadership, what he's done is he's created a very clear defining between the normals and the crazies. Yeah. And that's on both extremes. There are the normals who are somewhere in the center, left, center, right, middle, who are kind of looking at all of this objectively. And then there are the crazies who just their pants are on fire constantly. We got to take one last break back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Love New Order.
We're so late. We got like 10 minutes to go or something like that, right? So, getting back into this whole, you know, what sort of attire is appropriate for the president, I'll be the first to admit that when the president rides a bicycle, he looks like a nerd.
Of course he does.
He looks like a nerd. But you know what? Doesn't effing matter. It just does not matter.
Did somebody think that Bush looked tough? I mean, he had the flight suit moment, but what an idiot.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is that all presidents, all leaders, I mean, does John Boehner look tough when he's wearing those ridiculous golf shorts?
Right.
With his hairless orange legs glistening in the sun? No. No, 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 no. But I mean, we require that
I think it's too bad that Paul Ryan is as crazy as he is, because it would be really fun to have somebody who's got that kind of body. As you know, like I'd like to see, like, you know, like President Camacho from Idiocracy, like, you know, Ryan come out and rip his shirt off,
right? Jump on the back of a bear,
exactly, right? Ride a bear.
So that's that. That's that. I mean, you know, again, you know, you just rank all of this in with teleprompters and Hawaii vacations and arugula. That's about where that is.
Yeah.
But I mean,
that's exactly what you hit it on the head with your fashionistas, Kyle. First of all, hysterical. Hysterical. As if the right can ever dress. Holy crap, dude. Please just no. You know what? This is something I know. This is where I am a flaming queen. I am such a little fashion whore. I mean, no. Most of the people you see who are conservatives, not all, certainly, but God knows, especially in D.C., they can't dress to save their freaking lives. You know, just I want just one Tom Ford in their closet. Just once.
See, now, I thought
just one.
I thought you were going to comment on the Perez Hilton graphic that I put up there.
I didn't see. Which one was that?
Well, it's with Obama wearing the bicycle helmet and then the Perez Hilton graffiti, the white lettering pointing out. You know how Perez Hilton always writes all over the images?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so speaking of the Republicans, they've introduced a bill that would allow, and this is, again, this is from the tort reform people. GOP bill authorizes lawsuits against Obama. House Republicans are again taking aim at the Obama administration for its failure to enforce laws passed by Congress. Republicans serving on two committees have introduced legislation that would allow the House or Senate to authorize a lawsuit against the Obama administration.
A lawsuit against the Obama administration from basically any idiot?
Yeah, from any idiot in the House or the Senate.
Oh, okay. No, I really thought it was going to be like, you know what? Floodgates have gone open. You, Clem and June in Tennessee, in your trailer, you go right ahead. Here, we're going to send you a lawyer that you can use to sue the President of the United States.
Well, they can already do that. I mean, people
right,
can already
but you
sue
know
the
what, but what I mean is, you know, whatever we can do to make it easier.
Exactly. But I mean, what this does is this expands the power of the legislative branch to conduct lawsuits because their oversight isn't thorough enough. Daryl Issa is just so weak and ineffectual.
Well, he is,
with his investigation. Well, I mean, my God, he's just been ridiculous. He's with his inquests over everything. I mean, this week he was shutting off Elijah Cummings' microphone, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's the other sort of hypocrisy, which is, you know, the president is abusing his powers. What powers? What the hell have you let him do?
Yeah. And again, you know, it's completely blind to anything that happened prior to January 20th, 2009, which is that this president has signed, I think, the second fewest number of executive orders of any president, I don't know, since Eisenhower. I mean, it's ridiculous. But now that he's signing executive orders, this is a big trespass against the Constitution. So much so that we need to empower the legislative branch with the power of lawsuits to be able to sue the president from the floor of the Senate or the floor of the House. Just absolutely insane. And again, I underscore, these are the people whose platform includes tort reform to end frivolous lawsuits. So that gives us, you know, like Rand Paul suing the NSA. You know, suing to end Obamacare. Just ridiculous. Are they even self-aware anymore?
No, it doesn't matter. It's not about self-awareness. It's not because self-awareness requires a certain amount of shame.
Right.
And there's no shame there.
Yeah. And speaking of shamelessness, this week, Steve Stockman lost his his bid to challenge.
Right. Your piece about how basically the entire thing was a scam.
It really, really was.
And it was.
And, you know, come to think of it, this is happening more and more often, where politicians, mainly on the right, are using elections to just raise money.
Yeah.
They're not seriously planning on running. And with Stockman, who is just this clown car full of insanity.
Right. And it's not like, you know, I mean, granted, like you said, he didn't have very much in his war chest, but you know he walks away going, well, there's $32,000 I didn't have before.
Yeah. Well, he certainly raised more than that. I mean, the guy ended up with 19% of the vote, which is terrible, compared with Cornyn's, I don't know, 58%. Right. But even still, 19%, he was in second place in a field of eight or nine. So he had to have raised something.
Right.
And what he gets to do with that is fascinating, because the rules indicate you can't necessarily pocket that money. If you have a PAC, you can pocket the money. But right. if it's from your campaign committee, that money can either sit and wait until you want to run for re-election or run again, or you can use it to donate to charities. You can use it to set up your own foundation. Like Evan Bayh, for God's sake, set up the Evan Bayh Foundation with all of his leftover campaign money, with all of his leftover war chest. Right. So Steve Stockman...
Who benefits from the Evan Bayh Foundation? Well, Evan Bayh.
Exactly.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah. This is all kinds of shady stuff you do. And so all indications lead to the idea that Stockman ran for this Senate primary just to raise a bunch of money. Because you know what? He didn't turn up at events. You know, he didn't do anything. Did a couple of sort of trolling thing, did a lot of trolling on Twitter, as usual. Handed out some campaign literature. Produced an Obama barf bag.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't really have a campaign headquarters. His headquarters were condemned, so he didn't really run at all. In the Daily Beast, Ben Jacobs reported, "It's the worst kind of grift that is designed to separate gullible donors from their money and put it in their campaign coffers. There's not even the pretense of actual interaction with voters. Tea Party leaders have complained that Stockman has not shown up to any events. One Texas Tea Party activist noted in an epic understatement." Day to day, just getting a hold of him, that's just not Steve, I guess. Getting a hold of Steve Stockman is just not Steve.
That's a new sitcom. That's not Steve.
That's not Steve. He doesn't answer his phone. Instead, the Stockman campaign simply sends blast emails to potential donors and tweets.
Starring Steve Stockman. And the picture with the credits under it, there's just empty space there.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Right. But I mean, the guy is just... I was going back through some of the things... And the way he campaigns, he's just one scandal after one scam another.
You know what he's been doing.
What's that?
Take a look at him, man. He's the Yellow King.
He's the Yellow King.
Stockman is the Yellow King, man. His entire domain is Carcosa.
What was that video? That video on YouTube.
Isn't it awesome? Yeah, that was funny.
Of the Yellow King theory, where they actually, like, comped in a guy dressed as the Yellow King in the background of various scenes.
The best part about that, we'll talk more about this on the after party, best part about that was the way it made fun of people who look for every little detail. Because he's like, you know, I look very carefully at this.
It was kind of, you know, I can play the audio, but it's very much a visual thing. You have to go look at it. Go look up on YouTube the Yellow King theory. And it is, especially if you're watching True Detective, it is damn, damn funny. So there was one thing after another, like one thing that Steve Stockman keeps doing every time around and keeps getting investigated for it, is he puts out these fake newspapers that look like newspapers, but they're actually, you know, Stockman campaign mailers. He got fined $40,000 one time for, quote unquote, failing to correctly label, quote unquote, newspapers as campaign materials, and then admitted to doing it, you know. Then he did it again in 2012. When he ran for Congress this time around. And then he's done it now. But this time, a newspaper called The Conservative News emerged with a very obvious pro-Stockman message. And the publisher was one of two Stockman staffers who was fired last year for getting into other illegal shenanigans with the FEC, for illegally contributing to the Stockman campaign. So this guy, Jason Posey, worked for Steve Stockman, gave money directly to the campaign out of his own pocket, along with another staffer, which is highly illegal. because they because when they reported, they said, "Oh, it wasn't us; it was our cousins over there in Louisiana. They donated."
There you go. See?
There it is. There it is.
There you go, man. That was Reggie Ledoux.
Reggie Ledoux. That's right. So then this guy goes on. He's fired, and then goes on to produce another fake pro Stockman newspaper.
His family's been there for a long, long time.
I mean, you want to talk? I mean, this guy is neck deep in scams. He failed to file a financial disclosure form when he was running for Congress, and then filed it a year later after he had already been elected, then failed to include all kinds of required information about his income. He also claimed that he earned $35,000 from a mysterious outfit called the Presidential Trust Marketing, which is just... You can't make up this stuff. And then, of course, was the official Obama barf bag.
Yeah.
And, you know, the crazy news is he's just going to be replaced because he's not running for Congress again. He's going to be replaced by this guy named Brian Babin. He's a dentist.
That's right. What is his slogan again?
His slogan is, folks, it's going to take a dentist to pull the teeth out of Obamacare. And I promise I will be that dentist.
Dear God, they're a parody. They're a joke.
Pull the teeth out of Obamacare.
That's like Herbie from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is going to be the new representative from Texas.
I want to be congressman from the Texas 36th.
Get Bumble to put you up there. That was a really good Herbie impression, by the way.
Hermie, you're an elf. You're not Hermie, a congressman.
Hermie, pardon me. It's been a long time since I've seen that.
No, you're supposed to make toys, Hermie. You're not supposed to be a dentist.
I want to be a congressman from the Tea Party in Texas.
That's really, really good.
I've seen that lots and lots of times. Can you tell?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it. Yeah, I've got it here now. I've got it on DVD for my kid. But I think we watched it one time while she was here over Christmas.
So that's the latest from the crazy world of Steve Stockman. Hey, we're not going to have Steve Stockman to kick around anymore.
That's a shame. Yeah. We need to follow him. We need to figure out a way to like keep doing stories on him. He's awesome. Because well, you know he's going to go work at a 7-Eleven or something crazy like that.
Well, he said this week that he plans to run for statewide office again.
There we go.
Which could be governor. It could be senator. I mean, he could try for Senate again.
Wow.
Maybe if Cornyn decides to retire in 6 years.
Liberal John Cornyn.
But, I mean, you know, there's a lot of crazy people in the House of Representatives. Steve Stockman is a special kind of crazy.
He is. No, he is. He's really completely crazy.
He's like meta-crazy.
He's meta-crazy, and he's also somebody who you know, for the most part, the corruption in D.C. has been sort of honed to a knife's edge. You know, I mean, he is hick corruption.
Yeah.
You know? He's just a crazy doof who doesn't know any better, who somehow stumbled into, you know, an unbelievably powerful, you know, what should be a very respected office. And he's just, yeah, he's a lazy and insane. And dear God, the guy is just, what a like freaking nut. It's staggering to me that he can be a congressman.
Yeah, well, it's his level of crazy is so transparent. He doesn't even try to cover it up. It's just out there. Everyone knows he's batshit.
Yep.
Oh, my God. You know, like for example, he demanded that he was going to sue anyone who posts his mugshot.
Right, yeah. Good luck with that.
It's crazy within crazy wrapped in more crazy.
Yeah, that's the next thing that's going to come from Abby Martin. Anybody who brings up that video, she's going to sue him.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be fun for poor Ben.
Did you notice that RT never posted that video of her op-ed on the YouTube page? On the RT YouTube page?
No, I didn't notice that. Yep. Which one? Yep. Interesting.
Okay, so we've got a big after party coming up. Everything we didn't get to on the free show, we're going to talk about BuzzFeed, a little bit about Bill Nye, something interesting from this week about that debate that he had with that guy from the Creation Museum.
Yep.
Also, some Rand Paul, maybe if I feel like it, some Greenwald. Plus, Chez versus Adam Baldwin, we've got to get into that.
Yes.
Some observations about how...
Yeah, I've had a hell of a week. I have been like, I mean, between pissing off Abby Martin, pissing off Adam Baldwin, it's just like, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I love how I said that as if their names are the same. I'm sorry. I stressed the wrong word. That's how bad, that's how brain dead I am today because I got like, you know, 2 hours of sleep last night.
Plus, we're going to talk about how women should be way more terrified of men than they actually are. Some observations.
I think it's pretty terrified.
Yeah. I want to talk about Vine. Obviously, we're going to talk about True Detective. Got some movie reviews, like a trifecta of movie reviews. Let me take a few minutes to talk about the Oscars and a whole lot more. That's coming up on the After Party. It's our subscription-only podcast. It's available every Friday. Brand new show every Friday at noon Eastern. It's only $6 a month. A month. That's insanely cheap. It's a bargain at twice the price. We pass the savings along to you. Go to BobSeska.com, click the link that says After Party, and subscribe. It's easy. Cancel at any time if you want. All right, that's it for the show this week. See you next week. Bye-bye.